Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know about you, but I still believe in miracles. The things that I can't see.
And with all his facts, he tends not to react. He simply just can't believe in things he can't see.
Yeah.
This is Bishop Tanya Alkalik of Houston, Texas, signing on to Root Awakening, where our goal and aim is to awaken the people of Yah rudely, for the Bible declares that we are to cry aloud and spare not. This is an apostolic prophetic outreach to all of the lost tribes of Israel to return back to your place from exile and become one with Yahweh our Elohim. This radio broadcast is not for the faint of heart, not for those who are easily offended, not for those who are truly not about advancing the kingdom, and not for children. This is about declaring and establishing the kingdom of Yahweh upon the earth and waiting for his return as our Messiah and Redeemer. This is about giving Yahweh the glory and not about us receiving anything, for we are simply the vessels that he is using to proclaim and reclaim his heritage here in the earth. I would like to also go over some of the rules for this broadcast. We do not always think alike, and the first rule of order is that we must all learn to agree to disagree. We must understand that Yahweh can work with us only based upon our current knowledge and based upon our current understanding of his word. As such, our doctrines may be different. However, the love that we have for God and for one another should be able to overlook our disagreements. Secondly, we need to keep a 2 to 3 minute thought process so that everyone may have the opportunity to speak of their own experiences and their own understanding. There will also be other times for teaching and even for prophecy, for as the Bible states, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So if it is of Yahweh and needs to be said, you will have the opportunity. Also, please let us remain orderly here. Some will probably say that there is no order because we are real people, dealing with real issues, discussing real solutions. As such, our language may sometimes get a bit offensive, or even our vernacular may wane. Nevertheless, if it is the truth, let it be the truth, but at the same time, let us not be out of control with it. Lastly, we should all be looking to the hills from which our help cometh, which is Yahweh, our Elohim, and he will lead us into all truth. Coming directly from me, I thank you once again for tuning in to Root Awakening, and we know that it's all working for our good. Now we're going to go over to Pastor Bass for a word of prayer as we come into the show to discuss the issues of life.
Good morning. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to Root Awakening. At this time, we're about to open up with a word of prayer. Our subject again tonight is no subject. We look forward to what God has in store for us. So I don't know about you, but I came on tonight with a spirit of expectancy, and I know that God has some great things in store for us, even as we begin to fast and pray and to consecrate and to go into a time and season of repentance. I know that God has great things in store for us. So if you will, get to your secret place, wherever you need to go. Let us get in that place now that we may be able to communicate with our Father and let him know just how glad we are to be here tonight and how much we look forward to what he has in store. Father, how we honor you, how we give you praise, we give you glory right now. You are so worthy to be praised. Father, we found that there is no one like you, for you are perfect in all of your ways. God, we thank you for this another day that you've allowed us to live, to breathe, to move and have our being. God, we don't take it for granted. It's our prayer tonight that you would get the glory out of what is said and done on this broadcast tonight. God, we yield ourselves before you as your vessel, God, declaring not our will, but thy will be done. Father, you know who you're sent to listen to this very broadcast. And so, God, we ask now that you would lead us and guide us into all truth, God. Make the word plain and clear that when we leave, God, we'll be encouraged, uplifted, and strengthened to run on and be the men and women of God that you have chose us to be. We thank you and we honor you for the privilege. What a privilege it is to serve you, God. We don't take it for granted. So, God, we thank you and we say, Father, have your way. It is so, and it cannot be otherwise. By faith in the name of Jesus, thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. We are so glad to be back on Blog Talk Radio, Root Awakening. I'm so glad to be here once again. Once again, we're going to have another night of let us pray and open up the Bible and see what the word of the Lord is for us on the night. Amen. So I'm so glad about that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for my tardiness. And it was, I was in the midst of writing. God is really working on me with this book, Single, Saved, and Horny. And I was in the midst of writing, and I lost track of time, even though I contacted Jay Bass, what, about 10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
It was about 10 o'clock. I contacted Jay Bass about 10 o'clock to remind him about the show and see what was going on, and amen, I got busy with this book. And but I want to share just a little bit about some of the chapters of this book with some of y'all listeners about Single, Saved, and Horny, because y'all better be prepared. That's all I can say.
Uh-oh.
Be prepared. The first chapter is called I Want to Get to Know You. Now, that's not too bad at all. Amen. The second chapter is Oops, Oh My. Oops, Oh My. A lot of people don't know that song. I personally don't know it. I've heard it a couple of times, but it's based upon a song by this singer called Tweet. And she talks about Oops, Oh My. My blouse is coming over my shoulder. Oops, oh my. I feel my skirt hitting the floor. Oops, oh my. I feel something on my thighs. And next thing you know, she works herself. She works herself up in such a frenzy that she starts to masturbate. And that's what the song is all about. And so I thought that Oops, Oh My was a perfect fit for the chapter two. Chapter three, Blessing in Being Alone. And then the next chapter, the Unforgettable Twins, Loneliness and Depression. Amen. The next chapter, Face Down, You Know What's Up. Uh-oh. Amen. Next chapter, Can We Go Raw? Next chapter, Spiritually Transmitted Diseases.
Wow.
And the next chapter is Set Yourself Apart. Amen. Whether the Lord will add to that or not, I do not know. But as far as right now, that is what I'm working on. And I thank God for the understanding that he is really giving to me as I talk to people, other people who are single and who are saved and sanctified and trying to live a life of holiness and not trying to have sex. But as we all know, we must discuss sex in order for us to get an understanding of being horny. It has to be discussed. And so I thank God for the insight that I'm getting from people and from God about different things and different issues that we as single people are dealing with. And I'm really considering adding a special chapter in there just for preachers.
Wow.
Just on the behalf of preachers, because a lot of us, we think we're above and beyond these issues, and we think we're above and beyond what we tell people not to do. We think we're above and beyond all of these issues. So I'm thinking about adding yet one more chapter for sure about pastors and preachers and us in the leadership positions in the church and in ministry, and really, really delving into some of these issues and how we confront these issues in our churches, and whether it be for good or for bad. Whatever you want to think about me, it's fine. I do not care. But the truth of the matter is that we need to confront these issues of singularity in the church, and these people that are going through singleness, as myself included. This is not something that I'm saying because I'm married and have kids and I'm doing all. No. I'm saying this stuff. This is from a single person's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So please understand that this book is going to be raw. It's going to be very outright, out front. It is not, once again, another book that is not, or another ministry of mine that is simply not for children or those who are easily offended, to be honest. And actually, this would be a perfect book for those of us who are young adults in church. This would be a perfect book because you can get a better understanding. So those of you who have young adults in church, young adults in the church, when the book is ready, get it for them. Let them read it. They need to read it because they need someone who is going to say the things that need to be said on their terms so that they can get a better understanding. Amen. I just want to say that real quick. And once again tonight, we have no subject once again. As y'all really excited, J-Bass, about life. Life in general. I'm just really excited. I've been in prayer almost all day long and fasting and everything, and I'm just really excited about life.
Thank you, God.
And what life has to offer, what's going to come next. I'm so prepared for it. I'm so ready for it. It's just good to be in a good spirit to say I'm looking forward to what happens next in life. Amen. Okay, I'm through.
You are so crazy.
I know, pray for me.
Amen. But you know, you look at me. I love you. I had to change my words.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Didn't we just talk about that the other night? Mm-hmm. We just talked about that the other night. And we thank God for bringing that to the remembrance. Amen.
See, thank you.
It's so hard to break habits. It's very hard to break habits. But we thank God for bringing it to us.
But it is possible.
It's possible. It's very possible. We thank God for the possibility of breaking habits. Amen.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Don't you run them into a frenzy.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm in a good mood, so I might just have to do it.
Okay, because I got worked up tonight at church.
We thank God for getting worked up.
Thank you for working up. Thank you, God. Well, tonight, for those of you who were not able to hear or be a part last night, our subject is no subject because the Holy Spirit has not revealed it yet. What we do at this point when there's no subject is there's an open Bible, it's been turned over, and we don't know what scripture God has for us. We don't know what the word is, but we pray before we turn the Bible over, and we ask God to reveal unto us what he has for us to know. And so we don't know what our subject is yet, but we're going to go into another word of prayer and just seek the Lord about what he has to say to us tonight. Father, we honor you. We give you glory again. You're awesome. Again and again, we give you glory because you're worthy. Brand new mercies we see every day, God.
Every day.
And it's an awesome opportunity to be in your word again tonight. And so, God, whatever it is that you have for us to know tonight, we look forward to it and we ask you for your help. Help us to adhere to the word that we read, God.
Yes.
Help us not only to read the word, but to be doers as well. We thank you for victory now, and we declare it done. We look forward to what you have in store. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's turn this NIV study Bible over.
Amen.
Okay. Oh, thank you, God. Yeah. We're in Ephesians chapter 1.
Well, let me go to Ephesians chapter 1 in Jesus' name.
Huh. Well, after we
I look forward to the word Ephesians chapter 1.
I look forward to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You still look
right
forward.
I am yet there.
And the first subtopic I see is spiritual blessing in Christ. After we've talked about repentance. And this looks like what we need to look forward to. I don't know yet.
Yeah, that's it.
But just
by
reading together, this is what it looks like we can look forward to after this season of repentance and after revival. Can he take those little all 3 seconds?
Okay, you better stop.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I'm trying.
I'm not playing. Okay, verse 3. But verse 3 says, praise be to God.
J-Bass. Okay.
Verse 3 reads, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy,
holy
and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Thank you for the accordance of your pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves.
Yes.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding.
Yes.
And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things and in heaven and on earth together under one head, God, even Christ. Well, amen. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the time of restoration. Thank you for the spiritual blessings that have already been set in place, the blessings that were set in place before we even read this word, even before we knew that we needed to repent, even before we knew that this was a season of revival. Oh, my God. Thank you for the blessing. See, I don't know what you got out of this, Tanya, but as I read that, all it said to me is that even in the season of repentance and revival, there are some things that are already awaiting us that have already been predestined in Christ.
Yes.
They're waiting on us. But
there
are some things that we have to go through. There are some things that we're going to have to sacrifice. There are some things that we're going to have to do in order to get to them. Isn't that something?
Yes, that's right.
Now,
that's
they're
right.
already there, but we have to go through some things.
Mm-hmm.
Holy and blameless doesn't come as a sinful man without going through some things.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
I said getting to a holy and blameless state of living does not come without going through some things.
That's right. That's
it
right.
First and foremost comes with repentance.
My God.
And then there is a revival, a quickening that comes. New life. And then there's restoration. Thank you, God. Where we see the spiritual blessings that come in Christ manifested here in this earth. Oh, God. That's a word for me tonight. I thank God for the word on tonight. I'm so glad for the spiritual blessings of the Lord.
Yes, God.
That maketh rich and added no sorrow. Thank you,
sorrow.
God.
We thank you, God. That is a word. According as he has chosen us in him.
All right.
Oh, my God, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And I like the last part of that verse, the last two words, in love. In love, that we should be holy and without blame before him.
In his
love.
That's it.
In love.
Him.
And this is so important because, as you can see, we do so much. We try to be holy and blameless before him in hate, in dissension, in foolishness, in all these things that we try to do. We try to be blameless and holy, but at the same time, we're still causing confusion. We're still causing dissension. We're still causing all these issues that's going on. And I mean, I'm not going to say that we're going to get along with everybody. We're not going to get along with everybody. Everybody's not going to get along with us, I should say, because I personally get along and I seek to get along with every person I come into contact with. Every person that I want that comes into my contact, I try to be as a friend to them. I try to be as a helper to them. But the thing about it that we do a lot of times is that we want to be there for somebody, quote-unquote, there for someone. But in truth, we're not there for them because we're not doing it in love. We're not going before them in love. We're not being blameless before God because we're not in love. We're in all these other issues, in all this, in hate, in deception, in conniving, in all whatever you want to call yourself in, but you're not doing it in love. So therefore, you're not blameless before God, as the Bible says, and you're not being holy because you're not doing it in the proper order. There is an order, and the order is to be in love. Amen?
I told my brother tonight, I said that I know that there are people who are dogging me out, who are criticizing and going forth just in mighty ways because of things that were done in the past. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that stuff that happens causes us to lose love. It's almost like someone said tonight that there's an attack on our praise, but there's an attack on our love as well. Because once you go through some things, it's the enemy wants you to believe in your mind that it's hard to love people, that people are unlovable, so you'd rather just shun them and put them to the side and not say anything to them. What you got to do and leave and be done with it. But that's not in love. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so there are some things that we as people have to go through in order to learn how to love. And I don't know what somebody, I believe I've heard it before, that somebody said you can't learn to love, but I disagree. Like there's a saying that says cannot be learned in isolation. When you isolate yourself and you remove yourself from the love of Christ and sharing it with people, you become in an isolated stage, and you cannot learn how to love people until you begin to reach out and show love. Isn't that amazing?
That's it.
And then we can experience the spiritual blessings that come in Christ. Help us, God, to restore the love, to restore the love within ourselves, for ourselves, that we may share it with others, God. Help us.
Oh, wow.
Help us,
God.
Oh,
wow.
The
love within ourself. Help to restore the love within our. That is actually a mighty, mighty word. Help us to restore the love within ourselves. So we have to deal with our self-perception, self-identification, and self-esteem. And those are all things that we choose not to deal with because it's so much easier to deal with everybody else's perception, everybody else's esteem, and everybody else's identification. It's easier to call someone else out on their issues than it is for us to call ourselves out on our own issues, on our own things, on our own things that are readily available to everyone. And you can know this because when someone says, when someone might call you out for an issue, what is it that you do? Like we were talking about the response. It makes so much difference when you have the right response. What is the right response, though? Now, in my personal opinion, this is the proper response. The proper response is to admit, yes, that may be true, but God is yet working on me. A lot of us, because we refuse to deal with ourselves and we can't deal with the issues at hand, we won't say and we won't admit and say, yes, that might be true. Instead, we say, well, look at you, and begin to run down all of their fallacies and all of their issues and all of their things that are readily available. And I can tell you now, none of that is based out of love. Not one bit of it is based out of love. I don't know why people were to come against you or come against me or come against anybody. We don't know why. Somebody could be having just a bad day that day and decide they're going to go off on everybody.
You'd be the first one.
And you'd be the first person.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. But the thing about it is, how will you respond is what makes all the difference. Will you respond because you love yourself and because you have a love for God and you're living holy and in love before God? Or will you respond out of yourself and your deep desire to keep some things hidden that they're trying to expose?
Wow. Wow. Mm. Wow. Mm. Won't expose.
Won't expose.
But your response could hinder them from getting the relief that they came seeking for because you being selfish.
Mm. Yep.
Uh-oh. They're coming against you. You had no thought that they might be coming against the enemy within themselves.
Yeah.
And trying to get to Jesus, and here you are, the way. You're the way. Isn't that something?
Hmm. You better say that thing.
Isn't that something?
Hmm.
You're the way for them to see Jesus. Now, isn't that something?
My God.
But it's in your response. Help us, God. Help us, God.
Hmm.
You know, when you've been through some things and you see that God has brought you out, you realize how much it means to treat people better when they're going through. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you become a, you should. Let me say you should, because there are some. Even what we used to experience with the older saints who would get up and say, well, I've been living and saved all day long, and then they shun you because you just came in from the club last night. But they didn't tell you that when they were your age, they was not only in the club, but they was having two or three sex partners a day.
Ooh.
Or two or three after they got through from the club. Now, that says
Uh-oh.
A lot. You see what I'm saying? But they want to talk about you just because you went to the club. So there are some things that we have to remember in order to be able to be free, to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters.
That's it.
We have to be able to remember that God brought us out too. And so most of us, we hadn't fully been brought out. Uh-oh. That's why when somebody hit that nerve, we at the moment's whim to go off. Okay. Subject and ready to go off. Go to church ready to go off if somebody says something. And you know that's not the order. But get ready. I know it ain't right, but pray for me. Well, we praying for you, so get it together.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
There's something you said earlier about loving ourselves. And I know that personally I can testify about loving yourself because for years and years, even up to the past few years, even though I had a love, it wasn't a true love because I still didn't understand. There were some things I still didn't understand about why things were happening in life. You see what I'm saying? And why I was making a lot of decisions that I was making, even in my time of being rebellious and running away and just, Lord, I'm not going to go down the list again, but
yeah,
it's amazing the things that we do that show up when we don't love ourselves.
That's right.
It's easy for us to cuss out our brother and sister. It's easy for us to go and lay up with this one and lay up with that one and just lay our body down here and there and everywhere because we don't love ourselves. We don't understand our purpose. We don't understand what God has for us. Well, people keep saying that God has great things in store for you, but you don't see it. If nobody else will raise their hand, I will raise my hand. You say God has something great in store for me, and I'm seeing that I'm coming home to all this mess, all this confusion, bills yet unpaid, driving with no driver's license, all this crazy foolishness is going on around me, and you telling me that God has great things in store for me? Where is it? Maybe he doesn't love me. Maybe I'm not good enough. You know what? I'm not good enough, because if I was good enough, maybe I would be able to have the good, great things that he has in store for me. And so with those kind of things, beat myself down, suicidal thoughts, all that kind of crazy stuff. But once I began to realize some things that God has promised me in his word and how it applies, how are you going to have to wait that they said it is not going to be easy? Nobody told you that. Every day you got to take Jesus along with you.
That's it. Every single day.
And after coming to the realization, I'm watching how the peace that comes from Jesus makes the whole difference every day of my life. You hear me? When you seek his peace, when you seek his face, and you ask him for his peace, how he'll allow it in your life, and no matter what is going on, when you see people eyeing you out the corner of their eyes and whispering to this one and that one, you can praise him anyhow, because you've learned to love yourself and thank God for the life that he's given you.
Yes, God. That's it. Now that's the word. Because you love yourself. That makes such a difference in the life. It makes such a difference. And even when they ask Jesus about what are the foundational principles? What is the greatest command? What are the foundational? What's the foundation of how we are to live? And Jesus said, you are to love the Lord God. And then he went on to say, and the second is like it, you are to love all those you come into contact with, all those who are around you, you're to love. It makes no sense for us not to be able to love, when in reality, that's really all we have to offer.
That's right.
That's all we have. That's all we have. Is love. Everything that we do should be based out of a love for one another, and primarily the love for God. Because God says, if you see somebody, the pure and undefiled religion is to help those who are widows and orphans. So if I'm going to love God, I need to be helping widows and orphans. I need to be doing something community wise. I need to be because that shows that I love God and I follow after his heart. I follow after his command. If I do not do those things, and if I have no use for the widows and the orphans, and I just cast them to the side, you have now cast aside the only thing that God can offer you, which is love. You just cast it to the side. Love is such an important foundational principle that really we must learn how to develop that love for ourselves, because it's when we develop the love for ourselves that we begin to realize how much God loves not only us, but he loves everyone else.
That's it.
It becomes so important to you. And I used to have a problem somewhat with evangelism, because of the way evangelism was done, because a lot of times I would have, of course, you have evangelists that come over and they make you feel inferior somewhat. But for me, it wasn't like that, because see, I had a father who we thank God for Bishop Charles Daniels, who is no longer with us. We thank God for him, and my father. He made sure that I studied the Bible, and he told me something, and I'm going to repeat exactly what he said to me. He said to me, don't let none of these niggas trick you into believing something that's not real.
Wow.
That's exactly what my father told me. And so it was upon me when my father died at the age of 8 years old that I looked at the verse that he accompanied with that. And the verse was 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And from that point on, I began to really study about life, about history, about culture, about everything, including everything in the Bible. I tried those things, and I studied those things that were there, and even in historical format, because I understand if you're going to be a real student and a real disciple, you got to get into history. You got to get into culture. You got to get into language. You have to do all these things because it's written in a different language, so it's written from a different perspective of time. It's written in a different time period. You have to get into all these things so that you can get a better understanding of exactly what is being said at the moment. Now, to say that I've met too many evangelists who, they win people over to Christ, not with love, but with fear. And yeah. and from my understanding that perfect love casts out all fear. So I'm going to step out on a limb right now, and I might get a rebuke later on for saying this, but that's all right. I'm going to step out on a limb, though, but I'm going to say this to some people. If you've been saved through fear, I want to ask you to go back and make sure that you're saved.
Wow.
I'm serious. Because, once again, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear, and then the Bible also says that God, he is love. So if God is love and perfect love is casting out all fear, and God is yet perfect, so God must be perfect love, then that reasons to state that if you are saved through fear, you just might not be saved as you think you are.
Wow.
So, you know, and so I find so many evangelists and people who are out proselytizing and evangelizing that they make people feel inferior or less than through fear conduct. Instead of sharing the love of God, they share the fear, they share the hate, they share all of these different things, and it's not based out of love, even though their motives are pure. Ooh, they can have very pure motives as to say, I really want to see you saved. But I want to ask people, mm-hmm. every person who's ever evangelized somebody, I want to ask you the question of, why are your motives so, why do you feel it a necessity to evangelize people when you haven't even evangelized yourself?
Mm.
Why is it such a big issue for you to make sure that people are saved, when many times you're not even saved from your own mind? Why are you evangelized? Why are you an evangelist? So those are just some of the questions, amen, that we have to ask ourselves for real. When we say, well, I want to see people saved, why? What is your point of seeing people saved? Because even if we see people get saved, okay, there is more to life than salvation. There is more after salvation. But you leave them to fight with the wolves after they save them. You want to know why people leave them to fight with the wolves after they save? Because many times they've been left to fight with the wolves after they've been saved. And so you repeat, you repeat, you repeat, and you just constantly repeat. And even though you might do it out of a sincere heart, but we have to really stop looking at what we're doing out of a sincere heart, but looking at the effects that we're causing by doing stuff out of a sincere heart, because we want to see the homosexual saved, so we're going to talk crazy to them and talk crazy about them. That's not helping them. That is not helping anyone. Because they still have to go through their issue that they're going through. When they leave your presence. Which is why you have the church, the gay churches now.
Hmm.
Ooh. Is why you have the gay churches. The reason, because they're tired of saying, well, you need to be saved, or they're hearing, you need to be saved, and then they get saved, but yet they still dealing with the issue, and you said, well, you just need to pray. What happens when prayer is not working? How do I deal with this? And you don't have nothing else positive to say to me except for, well, you know you can't do that because if you do it, you're not saved no more and you're going to hell.
Wow.
The same thing you tell to the prostitute. The same thing you tell, as long as they not doing the stuff, it's okay. But I want to submit something to you, that the Bible says if you have done it in your heart, you might as well go ahead and do it because you've done it. So therefore, even if I have not committed the act of sex or having sex, if I've done it in my own heart and I've gone through that whole thing in my mind, I might as well going to do it because I'm going to reap the benefits of what happens. It's not about what you do. It's about what you think about. It's about you learning how to control the thoughts that come through your head and not letting those thoughts control you. But, of course, we don't teach that in the church. Now, we can't teach that in the church. That's too far-fetched to teach. Amen. But we can't teach that. So I'm going to leave it alone, J.B., because we can't teach that no more.
You know what? That's amazing because I was deleting some pornographic pictures and videos off of my computer, and
amen.
Did I just say that?
Amen.
Oh, okay. Was deleting those things from my computer and just getting rid of all that stuff, and the thought kept coming to mind. Look at it. I said, "Excuse me, I'm deleting this." So that I won't look at it.
Yeah.
So why would I even entertain the thought to look at it?
Because you need to see it one last time before you delete it.
Huh?
Because you need to see it one
last
time.
Yeah, I
want to
see it one last time before I delete it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I said, well, God, now I know this is not the order. And I had to bring my mind under subjection because had I not, it would have springboarded, and what has happened in past times, there would have been a partial deleting.
Or even a deleting partially and then restoring back to its proper order.
Okay.
So
or leave it where you can restore.
Yeah.
Have it in some little extra folder where you can restore it if necessary.
Yeah.
And you can go through it and find it if you need to.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Isn't that something?
Hmm.
Now, that's a word, because some of us store some things in our mind just so that when the time is right, we can access it and move right on it.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to get off of that and all the rebuke, because there's yet a rebuke that has come forth that I have been on that Help us, God. We really need help. There are some things that people are going, we are as people going through in our minds, that, oh, my God, just like we talked about one time before, that if a certain situation happened, it's like our whole stable mind system would just go to blows, and we would become a crazy lunatic going forth in burner and going forth in feeling and all these crazy things. But all but the grace of God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that have kept us. Even in times when we thought we couldn't keep ourselves. Isn't that something? Now, I wanted to go back to you because I'm yet going off. I said I was stopping, but there was a word that came forth about love. And there's a word in the Bible that says, how can we say we love God? How can we say we love God
whom we've never seen.
In this life, we have never seen him.
Hmm.
But then I see my sisters and my brothers every day. And how do I treat them? How do I respond when certain situations arise? You know, my little brother tells me that I'm so quick-tempered. And I'm like, God, help me, because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to get frustrated easy. I don't want to get upset quick. I want to be able to be even tempered, God. Help me. And, you know, when you ask God for stuff like that, situations will begin to arise.
That's it.
Just like asking for patience. Situations will begin to arise that will make you have to, it's almost like an alarm is sounded in your spirit manifesting. Ding, ding. Be careful how you respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, your whole demeanor could have gotten out of order really quick.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit who sends off the alarm that says, be careful how you respond. Some
mm-hmm.
of us need to stop ignoring him. There's also another word about that in the Word.
That's it.
Mm. Okay. Amen. Hmm. Get to a point where you want to feel it and can't.
Hmm.
And that's, oh, God, help us.
Take
not your Holy Spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from us, God. We can't live without it. My God.
Hmm.
Lord, have mercy. Hmm.
Wait a minute. We can't live without it. What do you mean we can't live without it? I know people that live without it every day.
We cannot live without him.
Woo! Don't I throw things in there?
You can go back with them and the zombie all you want to, but I cannot live without him. I refuse to be a zombie again.
That's it.
Uh-oh.
Now, that's the point I was trying to get you to say. Amen.
I knew that you were going to. Thank the Holy Spirit. I knew the direction and was ready to adhere. Thank you, God. And to walk therein. Thank you, God.
When we are without the Holy Ghost and we are without love,
mm.
we are nothing more than big masses of flesh walking
mm.
around without aim, without purpose. Without understanding
wow.
and without destiny.
Wow.
We have
going
nowhere.
Like that,
go ahead.
Now,
go ahead.
Said, without purpose and without aim. Now,
mm-hmm.
some of us write out plans. Uh-oh.
Who? Uh-oh.
Some of us live to a strict schedule.
Hmm.
But you saying that even in that, we could be walking without aim and without purpose? Is that what
you're saying? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly
wow.
what I'm saying.
Mm.
Even with that, even though you've written down all the purpose of your life and you've written down all the things you want to do, because many times, once we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and once we really get saved and sanctified of the Lord God, what happens?
Thank you, God.
Many of our plans that we had are no longer important now.
Come on. That's right.
Why are they not important? Because now you have aligned yourself with God's purpose for your life.
Mm.
You have aligned yourself with God's plan for your life. You have aligned yourself with his holiness. Your plan might have been to have a whole shop. Amen.
Wow.
That might have been your plan. Your plan might have been to be in pornography or to be a porn star. That might have been your plan. But
might have been the plan. It's a possible plan.
Yeah, it's a possible plan because I know
right.
many people who actually have that plan.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, you can go into any bookstore and see all the people that had that plan.
and went through with the plan. Come on.
And gone through with the plan.
There
but
are many.
But it's something about when you line yourself up with God,
that's
that right. your plan that was so important to you don't seem that important any further. You can have a plan to open up a coffee shop,
right.
but when you get caught up with God, it just seems that plan to open up, that sometimes that coffee shop just don't fit in with the vision that God gave you.
That's right.
So, yes, you can have plenty of all this stuff written down, but just because you have it written down, yes, you can live life without purpose, without
wow.
aim. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Help us, God.
Hmm.
Mm-mm.
And it's unfortunate, but it is. That's what it is. It's true.
Yeah. Hmm. So glad for the Spirit. See, this is one of the benefits of salvation and actually knowing that you're saved and knowing that you have the Holy Spirit living within
mm-hmm.
to be able to acknowledge the spiritual blessings that God has for us.
Yeah.
A lot of times we can't get to those blessings until we, as they said, until we go through some things and have been broken. When you said about the heart being broken earlier. There's a, I don't know if you said that, I'm sorry. But anyway, I thank God for MySpace. You said something that made me think about this young lady. I thank God for MySpace because of the resource that it is. And I know that I told you that God sent me online to connect with my brothers and sisters. And there are some men and women of God that he's connected me to who has become a, I call it a safety net. It's almost like God set up a safety net of men and women of God who are there to encourage and uplift their brothers and sisters, just as he sent me online to do. And I'm like, God, you sent me on here to encourage, and here I am being encouraged. Yes. There's a young lady that had a message up tonight that said, Lord, break my heart. I yield my heart to be broken. I'm paraphrasing. This is what I got. I yield my heart to be broken so that I will know what breaks your heart.
Ooh.
Now you see why. Now you see. When I read that, I was like, oh, my God. Because when your heart is broken to and you begin to understand what moves God and what breaks his heart, what makes him move, there are some things that are going to change about your personal plan. You see what I'm saying? Your personal plans, your coffee shop, all that stuff gets thrown out of the door if it's not in line with his purpose and his plan for your life.
That's right.
If God, if this is not what's moving your heart, then I can't do it. If this is not what moves you, if this is not what is getting your attention, then I can't do it. I got to be in the place of getting your attention. God, if it's in the place where I see a man and a woman and their children on the side of the street begging for money and or begging for food, that I will give of myself, take out time out of my busy schedule and stop by McDonald's and get them something to eat. Stop by Food Town and buy them a few groceries. Whatever you need me to do, God, help me. Because if this is what's moving your heart, if this is where you are, then, God, that's where I need to be. See, a lot of us, and I say us because I'm guilty. We want to be on the stage in front of everybody. We want to be singing. We want to be on the organ just going forth. We want to be doing all of this, that, and the other. But when it comes to real ministry, when it comes to going to the hospital, when it goes to calling your brother and sister, when God puts them on your heart to check on them and see how they're doing, a lot of us fall short. And that's why we're missing out on the spiritual blessing. See, we're being blessed, but a lot of it is not spiritual blessing. There are some spiritual blessings that come that natural blessings can't near about compared to. You hear me?
That's right.
They in no way compare. When you have peace, you can be broke and have the peace of God and it not even matter. Isn't that something?
Right.
You not have any money in your pocket, but you have the peace of God and everything all right. You just, and you got his joy. You're just walking around smiling and loving everybody without a penny in your pocket, and people don't understand how. About to lose your apartment. All your bills are due. Don't know how you're going to pay it because the hurricane came. 2 weeks you hadn't got paid, but the peace and the joy of the Lord.
You better say that thing.
Thank you, God, for the spiritual blessings that we have received in Christ. Had he never came, had he never died, had the Holy Spirit never been able to return because of what he did, we would not be able to enjoy these spiritual blessings that we enjoy now.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but those two are my main. I thank God for love. I do, because I know that it's through love that we have peace and joy. But when you have peace and joy, oh, my God. Oh, God. Somebody can be in your face cussing you from left to right, up and down and back and forward. But it will not matter because you know that what you respond with is what's going to set the tone for the rest of that conversation. Isn't
that's
that
right. That's right.
Now, isn't that something?
So true.
Hmm. Now, I can cuss you out. I can cuss you back. But then that's not going to produce any good spiritual fruit.
Yes.
Any good spiritual fruit.
My God.
We can go tit for tat if you want to. But at this point, it's not even worth it.
What is it worth? Is it worth it? Is it really, 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 really worth you going off and going through and almost having a heart attack and a stroke?
Help us, God. Now, that's a going off. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it
to raise your blood pressure. It's not worth it to do anything. It's not worth it. Is it in love? You know, they had that greatly taught, what would Jesus do? You know, I mean, that was a very good example, you know. And because we all understand that Jesus would do things out of love and not out of hate. Jesus would do things out of a genuine concern for people. And, you know, but the thing about it, and I want you to hear me and hear me well, because we can have a genuine concern for people. But if your antics with your genuine concern push folks away, you're not showing that genuine concern that needs to be shown.
Wow.
And even though you might have a genuine concern, seriously, but because of your antics, the things that you say and the way that you say them, they're not seeing it and you're not displaying it.
Wow. Wow.
So you have to make sure that everything that is done is not done out of the love that we have for people, but out of the love that God has for us.
Wow.
Talking
That's
crazy
good.
To people is not love that God has for us. Going off on people is not love that God has for us. Upholding people is the love that God has for us.
That's good. Covering. Come on.
Covering people is the love that God has for us.
All right.
Those type of things, that's what God's love has for us. That's why when someone who comes to me and they have an issue, I might can't help them with their issue. I might can't help them with their problem. I might can't give them no word of encouragement. But one thing I can do is say, you know what, you look like you need a hug. Come here. Let me hug you.
That's it.
And I might not agree with what you're doing. I might not agree with what you're going through. I might have a genuine hate for what you're going through.
Wow.
Because I know what it's done to other people. But at the same time, I show the God kind of love and say, let me give you a hug. I've had to do that for people before.
Yeah.
And this one older lady, I will never forget this woman as long as I live. She did not tell me her name, and I didn't even ask her name. I looked at her, and I went up to her, and I said, ma'am, I just want to give you a hug. And she was smiling and having a wonderful day and she had a wonderful, pleasant disposition. But see, when you're led by God and you're led of God's Spirit, you can see past all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I went up to this woman and I said, ma'am, I want to give you a hug. And she said, oh, okay. She didn't quite understand why. And then after I gave her a hug, this woman literally broke down in tears, and she began to tell me all of the issues of life that was going on with her.
Wow.
Even though she was laughing and smiling a few minutes ago, now she is actually telling me, this is what's going on, and this is going on, and that is going on, and I'm going to get kicked out of my house, and I don't have no food, and I just found out I have full-blown AIDS, and guess what else? Oh, God, I used to shoot up heroin, and oh, no, and I don't know what to do now, and I'm just, you know, and I'm living my life for God now, and now all this stuff is just coming against me, and I don't know, and the thing I was able to do was one, get all of that out of her so she could have somewhere to put it all. Get all of it out of her and then able to encourage her spirit. And when she left, she was yet smiling, but she was had a genuine smile this time as opposed to that fake one that she had before. So sometimes in love with the God kind of love, we have to do things that we don't like to do necessarily, or we don't want to do, because J-Bass, I don't like touching people, personally. I'm a person who do not like to touch people, genuinely. I don't like to touch people, and I don't like people touching me. unless we're very, 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 very close. And you understand what I'm saying? But genuinely, I do not like to touch people because I take heed to the verse, lay hands on no man suddenly. I take heed to that verse because I understand that things transfer from people. I know this for a fact. So I genuinely don't like to touch people because of that fact. But I yet give thanks and glory and honor to God that I can use his kind of love instead of my kind of love and
that
be able to reach people and deal with people on the level that God needs me to deal with them so that they can be made whole.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, what does that say about your love?
Ooh.
What does that say? When you desire to see others made whole. See, you know what? That's one of the spiritual blessings and benefits that come with being in Christ. You will see your desire, your selfish desires changed into godly desires to see the man restored, made whole. My God, that's a word. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Thank you, God.
Yeah. Can you put yourself to the side to see restoration come to people? Can you remove yourself to see restoration for other people? Even though you're not restored all the way sometimes. From dealing with issues of other people, you're not all the way restored yourself. But can you put yourself to the side and say, well, God has called me to ministry, so therefore since God has called me to ministry, I'm going to be a minister. I'm going to do as God has ordained for me to do, and he's put me in a place where I can minister. As a matter of fact, I might be the only one who's been in this place to come and minister to these people like this. No one else might come and minister here like this. Yeah, you might bring food. You might, yeah, you, and especially in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, homelessness is a really big thing there. It's like the I don't know what you call it, but it's very, very big thing there. And so many people, they go into the, so many churches go into the shelters, and they take the food to the shelters, and they take preaching to the shelters. But if you don't take holiness to the shelters, and you don't take the Holy Ghost to the shelters, and you don't take a nice word to the shelters, and you don't take a hug to the shelter, all you're doing is sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, because the people are not there to listen to what you have to say now. They only want what you got to offer.
See?
They don't care about what you have to say. I'm not trying to hear what you have to say, because the word that they did hear was not a word of encouragement. The word they did hear was not a life-changing word, because if it was a life-changing word, then half the people who are in the shelters would not still be smoking crack in the shelter.
Wow.
I've seen this with my very own eyes. The people who are supposed to be in the shelter area, who's helping in the shelter, literally helping inside the shelter, and they part of the shelter, but they have gotten jobs in the shelter, and they yet stand in the shelter, but now they've gotten jobs, and they're retaining themselves. They're supposed to be standing in a good part of the shelter, and they're in air conditioning, and everything is going well. Why are you back there in behind the building in the middle of the night smoking crack?
Wow.
Because even the people that are coming in to give a word, you're not giving the right word. You're not saying the right thing because you don't have the right mindset, and you're not listening from God. You're not praying before you come. You're not seeking God's face before you come. You're not fasting before you come. You're not giving a word from God. You're not giving a ruach word. You're not giving a holy word because you don't have a holy word to give, because you have not attained holiness for yourself.
Wow. And blameless. Wow.
And blameless.
Wow.
And you are part of the problem, so therefore you are blamed.
You know what? Even in that, a lot of, you know, thank you, God. A lot of times when we go in situations like that, we're blaming within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good enough for this. Just like I told you the other night about how we encountered that guy and looked like he needed deliverance. like he wanted to be delivered, why he wanted to be set free and whole. But because we were not prepared at that moment in a state of readiness. See, now, when you go to a homeless shelter, you go to places like that, you can kind of be ready. You know, you can fast and pray and begin to set yourself
mm-hmm.
apart for those kind of things. But
mm-hmm.
when it come up to you in real life, when you're not expecting, you driving, and you stop at the red light and hear somebody screaming and running up to the car because they know somebody that's in the car with you, what do you do? You see what I'm saying?
But what does the Bible say? The Bible says to pray without ceasing, so therefore you're supposed to always prepare.
See? Should have been prayed up ready anyway.
If you have been prayed up, then you wouldn't have come. You would have been looking for the opportunity to minister.
That's it. Oh, help us, God. That's a word. I receive my rebuke. That's a word.
Forget about ministry coming to you. You would have been prepared because you would have been looking. Okay, where's my next ministry opportunity now? Where is it at? Okay, I'm ready. Where is it at? And we could keep our mindset just like that.
Wow.
Nothing would come as a surprise to us.
That's right.
Because I want to give you understanding of something also. When I say that, I mean nothing. I mean absolutely nothing. Because even though you're looking for your next opportunity to minister, sometimes it's to yourself that you need to minister. So
yeah.
When I say nothing will come as a surprise to you, I don't care what happens in your life, it won't be a surprise to you because you said, God, I'm in ministry for ministry. I'm looking for the opportunity to minister. Well, God said, minister to yourself now. Go on, go get your oil, slap some oil on your forehead, and fall out before me.
Thank you, God, yes. Yes,
just like you would have slapped some oil on that person's forehead, slap some on your own. Sometimes
that's
you got to get in the mirror and speak in tongues over yourself.
Wow.
Instead of speaking in tongues over everybody else, sometimes you need to do that for yourself.
Uh-oh.
Because it raises your most holy faith. Amen.
That's it.
It edifies you. Even though you don't know what you're saying, but the Spirit does.
Thank you, God.
The Spirit knows what you're saying. Because sometimes there are some things within us that we really don't know what's going on, and we don't know how to verbalize it, but the Spirit does.
Thank you, God.
The Spirit maketh intercession
with
moanings and groanings.
All right.
So we thank God. I thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, I know you're right. I know you're right.
I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God that He allows Himself to be manifest in my life as the Holy Ghost. I thank God for that.
That's it.
I thank God
for
that.
Indeed.
I thank Him for Himself. Amen. That's it.
Thank you, God.
But I thank God. I thank because I really, honestly speaking, see, I was one of those people. I got addicted to the Holy Ghost early in life. Y'all heard what I said. I said addicted.
Yeah.
And there are some who can get addicted to the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Well, we thank God for the laying down spirit of the dog. Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I beat the phone. Uh-oh.
But there are some who can get, you can get addicted to anything. You can get addicted to feeling that spirit of the way that the Holy Ghost makes you feel. You can get addicted to feeling that high. Because I guess, to me, I've never been high. So I'm supposing that is a high. That is comparable to the high that people get when they smoke crack or when they smoke marijuana or whatever, or take pills or whatever they take. And if that is the way that you feel, I understand why people are on drugs. But I tell you what, I could care less what anybody has to say. Crack addict, if you get high on Jesus, I'm sure that the crack high is nothing to be compared. I'm sure of it. I am so sure of that. Whew. I just don't understand. I don't understand some things. But you know what? I realize that even in my not understanding, that cannot negate or make me choose a different path, even when I don't understand. When I don't understand what I'm supposed to say to somebody or why I'm supposed to be ministering to somebody or why I'm supposed to be dealing with this person. Even in that, even in my non-understanding, I still have to walk wherein God has ordained for me to walk in. And I have to do it not only because I have to do it, but I have to do it in a manner of love,
yeah,
so that I can be called holy and blameless.
That's it.
Hmm.
My God.
Ain't that a word? Ain't that a word?
We
holy and blameless.
That word tonight. Hmm.
We thank God. I thank God for. You better leave me alone today.
There are
okay.
some things we have to get over ourselves, within ourselves, and know who we are.
Ooh.
I'm learning that daily. We have to know who we are on the inside, who we are, period, because life will throw you into some situations where you have no clue how to respond, and when you have not been praying and fasting like you ought, most of the time, you'll mess up in that situation. Your response will be all jacked up. But once you've been set aside, and like you said, you're looking for ministry and looking for the opportunity, and God allows it to be manifest in your life, and somebody come up to you, or even you're just faced with something even in your own personal life, and you have to have the right response. Then you can have access right to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. I cannot handle this situation without you. And there is your help. And just like you say, it could be so simple, you don't even have to open your mouth. You say, I need your help. And that person begins to speak. And you say, well, do you need a hug?
Mm-hmm.
You look like you need a hug. Come here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you said. Or you just reach out and hug them. And that just shifts the whole atmosphere. Isn't that something?
That's it.
You spoke a mighty word when you said that earlier.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Because now, I want to submit something to the people who are listening about the shifting of the atmosphere. And, of course, we all know that we're atmosphere shifters. But I want to say this to people. When you know who you are and understand who you are in God, you will shift the atmosphere just by your presence.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And you need to work on being an atmosphere shifter.
Thank you, God.
So that God can get the glory in all areas of your life. Like I said, when we repent, or when we go down on our knees and we begin to repent, and we shift the atmosphere of the place. But we take that spirit of repentance everywhere we go with us, because we have gotten on our face, and we now are, the glory of God is upon us now. And as we are walking, the glory of God is being revealed to other people, even though they might not say it as such, even though they might not say it as such. But the glory of God is yet being revealed to them. And you, they might even come to you and say, you know, I don't know what's going on, but lately I've just been wanting to do this, and I just, you know, everything that I've been doing, I've just been not wanting to do it, and it's just, I don't understand what's going on with me. And they might not even be persons that go to church or persons that have been to church in years. But it's because God's glory is upon you that you're causing the atmosphere to shift everywhere around you, so that you are now walking glory.
Thank you, God.
And I thank God for the spirit of repentance that is upon me and the spirit of revival, because I want myself, I want to be able to experience God's glory in a more meaningful and deeper existence, like it was.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, and truthfully, and I'll be completely honest. When I was younger, I had an experience with God like nobody that I know, even right now. And the reason being is because when I was younger, people don't realize that I prayed 8 hours a day. I literally laid on my face 8 hours every day. Not one day that I missed laying on my face for 8 full hours. I fasted on a regular basis. When I say a regular basis, every other month I fasted for 20 and 30 days, sometimes 40. Because I said, I want the glory of God to rest on me so that I may be able to break strongholds not only in my life but in my family's life. And I thank God for Jabez because Jabez is allowing me and affording me the opportunity to go back to that. Because when I was younger, I didn't have the grounding that I have now. Mm-hmm. And see, when you get up into the place of God's most holy place and you really get into his glory and his glory really starts being revealed to you in your own life, you can go crazy. I'm going to say it like that. You can literally lose your mind. I know because I didn't have the grounding. I didn't have the people around me that could keep me grounded. Because as far as I was concerned, my mom had stopped really going to church. My dad was dead. And I was the spiritual person of the family, literally. And so there was nobody around me who really could ground me like I needed to be grounded and say, hey, come on back. Hey, wait a minute. Wait, hold up. I didn't have anyone to do that for me. And because of that, it was so difficult. And then you find yourself touching folk and seeing their whole life story and then prophesying to them in the middle of the grocery store. And they afraid of you. And you find everybody that's your age is afraid of you because they don't want to touch you. They don't want to be around you because something is really wrong with that child. That child, that just shout and fall out on the floor and speak in tongues. And then when they touch us, they tell us about what's going on in our life. Oh, no. And then when they really want to get evil, they start rebuking folks and calling folks stuff out and exposing things about people in ministry. Oh, no. I can't be around. Oh, no, no. And that's what I went through in my life because I had no grounding and I had no wisdom because I was still a child. I was still a young child. A child my age, many people will say that a child my age should not have possessed the glory that I had. But I say to you, as long as there's someone around to ground you, I hope that another five-year-old get it. As long as there's someone around to help you. Because like I was telling Jay Bass, I felt so alone. And even now, as a minister of the gospel, I feel alone many times. Even when I'm around people, I feel alone. Even when I'm around you, Jay Bass, yeah. I feel alone sometimes. And I'm sure that you have that same feeling.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that. And it has nothing to do with our friendship because I believe that our friendship is strong and I believe that we're there for one another. I believe that we love one another and we are not going to leave one another. I believe that with all my heart. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we have it's something about that loneliness that's constant. It's a constant lingering, and I'm realizing that constant lingering is a call to prayer. That constant feeling of loneliness is a call to worship. That constant feeling of loneliness is a call to sanctification. That's why it's there, because we need to be sanctified because we are in ministry, and we have to call ourselves. Right. And so that constant feeling of loneliness, we have to pray about it because that's what we're being called to. That's how God calls us sometimes to loneliness.
Right.
That's how God calls us back to himself. Okay, you feeling lonely now? Okay, you need to go pray. You feeling lonely? Oh, you around a bunch of folks? Oh, who cares? Did I ask you if you was around 5,000 folks?
No.
I asked you that. You said you feel lonely. Go pray. Go and seek after me. Because I will fill you. And only I can fill you.
That's it. We look to so much other stuff to fill us. Help us, God.
But we thank God for love. We thank God that he has a perfect love.
Thank you, God.
That gives us a perfect understanding, even when we don't understand.
Yes, indeed.
So do you have anything else to add? Huh?
Is there anyone on?
No.
Okay.
No one has been on tonight, but we thank God.
Well, we yet thank God because we have to press on anyhow.
Anyhow. That's it.
That's right. That's right. Well, amen. I believe that concludes our episode, amen, of this broadcast. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Of spiritual blessings in Christ. Thank you, God.
Thank
it started
you,
out
God.
As no subject.
We thank God for no subject. No
we
subject
do.
Is sometimes that's the best thing to do. No subject.
For real, because these past 2 days have really been eye opening, and I thank God. Well, actually, these past few days, period, but these past 2 days really have it. They're speaking directly to the season that God has us in.
But you know, and it's even more than that to me, because it's speaking directly into the season that God has called us into. But you know what else it's doing? It's helping us to know what we have in us. What is in you? What have you studied? What is in you? What's in your heart?
Wow.
Because we come on with no subject, and we just open the Bible, and God begins to speak to us.
He begins to speak. It's
God
not
begins
us.
To speak to us.
But isn't that something? And speak through us. My God, what a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
What a privilege, Father. We don't take that lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Mm-mm-mm.
So we thank God. I thank God for this time of repentance that's going to lead to revival. Amen.
And into the spiritual blessings that God already has in store for us.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
I thank God. And revival is one of the spiritual blessings. Amen.
That's right.
So we
that's
thank
right.
God. So we thank God.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, this is going to end today's broadcast, and I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad once again just to be able to be here and to speak the oracle of God and to be online with people who can hear from God and who's willing to hear from God. Amen. So this is going to end our no subject for the night. And we thank you for tuning in to Root Awakening, and we pray that you'll be with us tomorrow night at 11 o'clock.
Amen.
Thank
you, God.
Give us a prayer.
Father, we honor you. We give you praise now. We thank you for the word that you've given us on tonight. We thank you for this season of life, God. I thank you that even the things that we've learned and are learning are preparing us for the seasons to come, God. For the rest of our life, God, all the things that we've been through in life, how we went through without understanding, how we went through without wisdom, God, and yet you kept us. Thank you for holding us together while you are getting us together. We thank you for that. We don't take it lightly. I pray that this word that has been spoken over the airways, God, will be a blessing to those you allow to hear it, God. We pray that even as change has come to our house, and is coming to our house, and is at our house, God. We pray
God.
That you would allow change to be manifested in their very lives, God, that testimonies will come as a result of this word that has gone forth. We love you, we thank you, and we give you praise now, and we declare it done in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, honey.
Good night.
Hello? Hey, Ma. Yeah. Can we kick it?
Can we kick it?
I'm sorry. Can I talk to you for a minute?
That's more like it.
Okay. Uh-huh. In becoming a lady.
Yeah.
There are so many things to learn.
Uh-huh.
About life and things that we made up.
Now let's not forget this is all gone.
Don't want to be mistaken.
Uh-huh.
For not being a Christian girl.
Well.
And my fear is being a
know what it means when you see them things on the TV screen. Make a sister wanna, you wanna make it quick. Every time you see a 23 or 24, thick on the flow. But mama knows best. Daddy told you whenever you come, come correct. But take your time, baby, and be a young lady. You got your whole life ahead of you. Now bring the pain, baby. Don't